The message today is living wisely. We are to be wise. And I was thinking about a couple of wise things that the Christian should know this morning. In the song we sang, Forever Rain, you know, I'm running to your arms. In there it says, nothing compares to your embrace. And you know, a lot of times we don't allow the Lord to embrace us. A lot of people, old, young, male, female, and you see this in young children, they sort of want to be cool and they don't want mommy or daddy to embrace them. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's that staying away, not just opening up and, hey, I've got to be cool. I can't. You know, I can remember we'd drive our children to school. When we'd get near the school, they'd all duck down so no one could see them. Like none of the students knew that they had parents, you know? They just always kind of got to be cool. Well, stop here. I'll walk the rest of the way. But, you know, there are people in there, and this is true in men a lot. They get kind of sterile sometimes and don't embrace. And that's not cool with the Lord. He loves you. He loves me. And he wants to embrace us. Now we're cool, we're Christians, but we're cool, you know. I'm not going to get too deep into this. We need to just free flow and fall into the arms of the Lord and let him embrace us. Men, women, children, old and young. Just let the Lord embrace us and shower us with his love. That's where we need to be. Humble Christians, not cool, fitting into the world or caring what anybody thinks, but just walking with the Lord. That's one thing. And another thing I was thinking about it's wise to let the Lord embrace you. The other thing I was thinking about is wisdom would tell us that we're never alone. We're never alone. Now, maybe you walked in here today and you feel alone. And you feel lonely. And, you know, you can be in a crowd of 10,000 and feel lonely. As a matter of fact, the larger the crowd, the more lonely you can get. Because, people go in and out. And I was thinking, you know, how wisdom would tell us, even in those times where we feel like we're alone, we need to know we're not alone. Did you ever feel like you're the only Christian around when you go someplace? It's like, I just feel weird. But you're not alone. Let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23. When you're feeling alone, and you know, it doesn't mean that there isn't someone that loves you. There isn't someone next to you or cares about you or that you don't have any friends. Loneliness can set in if you can have all those things. You can have the perfect life, the perfect home, the perfect marriage, great friends, a great church, but you can at times feel alone, can't you? You know why? Because life's between you and God. And it's a personal relationship. And he wants us to know that he's there for us and that people can't take care of every need in our life. But God can. And so we need to know we're not alone. And in Psalm 23, David realized this. Can you imagine out there taking care of sheep out in the fields? Now, that's a lonely job every day. It's not like going to an office or a factory where there's a lot of people. You're going out into the field with all these sheep, and all they can say is, bah. You know, hey, how's it going today? Bah. And that's your communication. So he writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you imagine being alone in the field, how Satan could get a hold of your mind day after day? Boredom, same thing, same sheep. I mean, it could set in after a while. No phones to play games on or anything, you know. It's like you're out there alone, and Satan could get in your head and say, no one cares about you. You don't have a life. You missed out. And all these thoughts can come into your head. You're missing out on this or that. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He realized that he has the Lord, and that's enough. And he's never going to want. Doesn't mean that your heart in the flesh wouldn't want things, but he knows that he'll never be in want of anything that he needs, because the Lord will take care of it. See, God will bring into your life the people and the things that he has for you. You don't have to worry about it and stress out over it. As a matter of fact, the more we seek it, it seems the more delay there is, because we're trying to make it happen. Where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will he do? Add all these other things to you. You've got to trust him. I have to trust him. I have to have faith that God will do what he said, because he's there. I'm not alone. He knows the situation I'm in. He knows what I need, and he knows what he has for me in life. The best plan. He has the plan. And so I have to trust him that he will take care of me. I don't have to strive. I don't ever want to feel like I'm alone or missing out on life. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. God isn't going to have you and I miss out on life. Green pastures to me sounds like a good place to be. When you're a shepherd and you're out there working in the fields, rather than an arid, dry place, he's going to lead me to lie down in green pastures. That sounds nice. But doesn't that sound nice right now when you're driving around and it's traffic during the week? And if you could just find somewhere where there's a green pasture, flowers, trees, some shade, birds singing, and you could just slide down in it and enjoy the day. Doesn't that sound good? He says, that's where I'm going to be. It's going to be a great place where he's going to lead me, because he's going to lead me beside the still waters. Not trouble, not a raging river. My life isn't going to be in turmoil and tough and rough. If I allow the Lord to lead me, and I've got to have wisdom in believing that, then he will lead me beside the still waters. He'll give me a good life, not a bad life. Well, if I don't do this in my life, who's going to do it? How am I going to do this and how am I going to do that if I don't do it? And the Lord says, duh, me. I'm your father. I love you. Wisdom tells us God is our father. He's our daddy. And we can't relate God the Father to a father here on earth, because a lot of people in this day and age get turned off by that, because they've had a horrible life here. And not a good father. We have a good, good father. We have a son. You're a good, good father. He's good. He fathers you. He loves his children. And he's going to give you a good life. And then he says, he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Maybe you and I need restoration today. You go on a week in this world, and man, you get nervous and anxious, fearful, all kinds of things. He restores my soul. If you're looking for help today, if you want that refreshing place to sit and relax and have your soul right with God, you know, we sing that song, All Is Well With My Soul. We sing that here. Have you ever sung it and thinking in your head, I don't have that? Did you ever think about the words of the songs? All is well with my soul. Maybe you walked in here troubled and you're singing that song and it doesn't even register. You're probably just thinking about the trouble you're in. You need to focus on the words and on the Lord and realize, all is well with my soul. Why? Because he is taking care of me. I don't have to worry. All is well with my soul. He restores my soul. Our soul can get torn apart and anxious and doubting our faith and everything else. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What if I follow the Lord, I'm always going to do the right thing. Now, you know what's important in life? To do the right thing. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you lived a life never doing the wrong thing? Wow. Well, that's what God wants. How do we achieve that? You let him lead you, restore your soul and lead you, and he's going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because he wants to be glorified in you. He wants you to be telling people, God did this. All the glory goes to God. He delivered me. He restored my soul. He provided for me. I don't feel alone anymore. He refreshed me. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Maybe today you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. One thing I heard once that was really neat. In order to have a shadow, there needs to be sun. Isn't that neat? You might be in that dark place, in that valley, but there's a shadow. And that shadow is caused by the Father, by the Son. You see, he's still looking on you and shining upon you. In your darkest hour, there's light, because there's the Lord. So maybe you're in that place today where, man, you're in the valley. I need to get out of this place. No, go through it with the Lord shining on you and glorify him. Yea, though I walk, you notice, I will walk through the valley. When we get into a trial, what do we want to do? We want to run through that valley, man. We want out of there. And God's saying, now I've got a plan. I love you. I've got a plan for you. I see you're seeing a shadow. That means I'm there. Just walk through it. But also walk through it fearing no evil. God's thoughts toward you are good. He has good thoughts toward you. He loves you. He loves the unlovable. He loves you even when you don't love him before you were a Christian. He loves you and he loved you. God is love, the Bible tells us. You don't have to fear. I don't have to fear. Boy, we can get news or wake up feeling ill or having all kinds of things happen to us, and fear can set in our hearts. The world is real. And it rains on the bad and the good. The difference is we can live this way without fear. No matter what it is in your life today, God can take care of it. Thinking on that takes away the fear, doesn't it? It's like, because we start thinking on, well, what am I going to have to do, or what's going to happen, or how's this going to work out, or how long is this going to last? And God is saying, just walk through this valley. I'm with you, and don't fear evil. There's good that's going to come out of this. When Jesus went to the cross on Friday, the reason they call it Good Friday is because Sunday came. You see, Jesus saw the resurrection. So he did it for the joy that was set before him. So whatever we're going through today, there's a Sunday. And God works all things together for good to those that love him. And you notice in verse 4, he says this, though, because in the end of verse 4, for you, I fear no evil. I'm going to walk through that valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He says, I know you're with me. You can be young, you can be old, you can be this, you can be that, but the Lord is with you if you're a Christian. You don't have to fear. He is with you. There's no need for the Christian to ever feel lonely. It's just we have to be wise and get our mind on things above, which we're going to go through today with our text. I don't know if we're going to get to it. But the Lord spoke to me and told me this morning, so I want to share it with you. And he says, for you are with me. There's no fear. When I get my eyes off of the fact that he sees me and he's there with me and I'm not alone, it takes all that away. But I have to say to myself, God, you're with me. and you love me. So you're going to work it out. And it takes away the fear. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. The rod and the staff, one was to hit the sheep. Sometimes we're going off the path of following Jesus. We get thoughts, desires, things that would draw us away from the Lord. Things come into our life that would hinder us. Satan attacks us. The rod, you know, the flesh gets in the way. So our shepherd uses the rod to, hey, Jim, get back on the path. You know, he keeps us in place. Why is God allowing this in my life? And you're just getting a little bit of the rod today, maybe. You know, keeping you on track. And the staff, the thing with the hook on the end, that's to get those wayward ones back in the fold. They walked away. Maybe there's someone in your life that's walked away from the Lord. They've heard about the Lord. They said they committed their life to the Lord. Only the Lord knows. Well, the Good Shepherd has that staff. Maybe you experienced that at one point in your life where he took that staff. He says, get back in this fold. I love you. This is the good place to be. Are you crazy? You think it's good out there? Isn't it wonderful that he doesn't say, go ahead, you lost sheep, suffer. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Well, I don't care about you. You don't care about me. When we don't care about the Lord, he cares about us. He takes that staff and he says, get back with his love. And he pulls us back into the fold. That's why David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hey, they bring me comfort. Then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. This anointing the head kept the flies away from the sheep and comforted them. And he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You probably dread going to work tomorrow. Maybe it's not a good place. Or going somewhere else, or being with family, and you're saying, oh no, it's not a good place maybe. But you know, you can be among enemies, and God's got this beautiful table laid out before you. He'll take care of you. He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Maybe you feel there's people against me. They're going to lie about me. They're going to cheat. They're going to bring me down. I'll lose my job. I won't have anything. No, the Lord's prepared a table before you. He's going to take care of you. He'll meet your needs. Your enemies are not stronger than God. Yeah, but they all hate me. They're all texting that. They're passing it on. How horrible I am. Doesn't matter. I don't care if there's been a million texts. Not stronger than God. They won't destroy you. God's going to feed you, take care of you, and give you a good life if you continue to follow him and walk with him. And he's going to refresh you. And he says, my cup runs over. I thank God for the good life he's given me. And we should be thankful. My cup runs over. He takes a wretched sinner and he saves him. Isn't that awesome? And he turns our life around and saves us from destruction and harm. Isn't God good? Where would we be? We wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the Lord. Yeah, I could be home watching a football game. Yeah, but what a life. You know, we have the Lord. My cup runs over. We have a lot as a Christian. Like the Bible says, we're joint heirs with Christ. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, my life here, but see, it's contingent on what David has said previously. That's how David was able to say this, because this was a reality in his life. This is the way he felt and he thought. See, he had this intimate relationship with God. If you have a casual relationship with God, superficial, emotional, you're going to have problems. David had a deep, intimate relationship with God. If you want that deep, intimate relationship with God, I would encourage you today or this week, sit down alone with God, open your Bible, or don't even open it yet, but just sit before God and just talk to him like we're talking right now. God, I want this in my life. I want that closeness. I don't want to feel alone. I want to be full of you. I don't want to fear anymore. I don't want to feel my enemies are going to defeat me. I just want this, Lord. You know, don't get too busy where you don't have time for the Lord. Relationships are built on how much time you spend together. Do we all agree with that? If you don't spend any time with someone, your relationship is going to crumble. I mean, being together and having intimate time together builds relationships. Don't ever get to the point where you say, well, I don't have time for you or for God or anybody. Terrible way to live. We must have time together with each other and with God most of all. And just be in that place like David was, just totally focused on the Lord. See, probably being out in that field with just the sheep and the fields encouraged him to just look to the Lord. That's why we go through trials, because the time comes in certain situations where we say, no one can help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And God says, good. Now turn to me. And so you start talking to the Lord and praying and dealing with the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't it good when that time comes when you all of a sudden feel that refreshment and, he's all I need. We're saying that too. And then you're going to know this in verse 6. Like David, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. I've said this before. If you look around as you're walking out of the church today, you know what you're going to see in back of you? Goodness and mercy. It's like two little sheep following you. There's goodness and there's mercy. And he says, surely, maybe name two sheep, goodness and mercy. He says, oh, there's goodness and mercy. They're following me all day long. They go wherever I go. And he says, but isn't that wonderful? His thoughts toward us are good. And he has his mercies are new every morning. That's what's following us. God is out to bless us. But then he says, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On top of it all, having this good life here, peaceful life here, I'm going to spend eternity forever in the house of the Lord. Isn't that great? Sometimes we can be worshiping the Lord and personally, you know, because some people can feel this way, some can feel that way. But maybe there's times you go to church and you just feel, wow, these songs are for me. And you feel so peaceful all of a sudden. You ever get that feeling? And you wish it would never end. That's the way it's going to be. It's not going to end. Isn't that wonderful? There's no Mondays in heaven. It's always Sunday. It's going to be beautiful because we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Psalm 23 is a good psalm to read to get our focus back and to realize, hey, I don't have to feel alone. I have the Lord. But I must know that. And I must look to him and count on that and be wise. Wisdom would tell us, you know, it's wise to do that. Back to our text. I don't know. We're not going to get through much, but Ephesians 5, verse 17. I shared with you just some practical application that the Lord gave me on wisdom, you see. Now, my question is, because the first verse is, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do we have any wise guys in this room today? Any wise guys here? According to the world's term, you probably wouldn't raise your hand. See, in the worldly term, a wise guy would be considered a rebel, a hoodlum, a know-it-all. You know, there's some people you talk to, they know it all. I mean, you start a conversation, you can't get a word, and they know it all. And everything you share, boy, they got something better. They just know it all. You know, or they're a prankster or making wisecracks. However, in the spiritual realm, in Christian terms, being called a wise guy or a wise gal is a good thing. That's a good thing. You see, we should all raise our hands to that question and say, me. You know, are you a wise guy? Are you a wise gal? We hopefully can all say, yes. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord, the proverb tells us. So we can raise our hands. See, we're wise guys. A bunch of wise guys gathered here today. God desires us to be wise, to have true wisdom from above. He doesn't want us to make wrong decisions. And it's so easy to make wrong decisions when we don't go to the Word of God or pray. It's very easy when we count on the flesh. Sometimes you can feel you're just, this is absolutely the right way. It's a no-brainer. And it's wrong. You find out too late. That's why the Bible says pray about everything. We never know what God's plan is. You know, it's different for everyone. It might be wise for you to do this, and it might be wise for this person over here not to do that, according to what God's doing in their life. So God wants us to have wisdom, true wisdom from above. You see, in verse 16, last time we ended with, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're living in evil days while here on this earth. Wisdom would tell us that. But we know, Proverbs tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So all of us here who are born-again Christians, first of all, have made a very wise decision. Anybody who said no to Jesus has not made a wise decision. And they're probably paying for it. They're reaping what they sow. Now, after you make that wise decision, and you give your life to the Lord, then we are told to live wisely. Live wisely so that we're achieving God's plan for us here on this earth. We don't want to become a Christian and necessarily go back to our old life and do the things we were doing. You could. God could say, do the same thing, stay in the same place, keep the same job. God does that with many people. But we at least must ask God right away, what is it that you want me to do? What is it, God, where you want me to be? Because from the point of making that wise decision to accept Christ, we then have to live wisely, and God's the only one that has the plan. We don't. See, when we give our lives to the Lord, it's like taking our life and us controlling it and tearing it up. Tearing up the old lease. Now it belongs to the Lord. So we must at least ask, what do you want me to do, Lord? What is it you... And every day, really, you could have everything great going on in your life right now. Perfect, and you're probably thinking, this is great. You might even get to the place where you say, I hope the Lord doesn't return soon, because we've got this big thing coming up in another month. You know, people say that all the time. You hear that once in a while. Oh, I hope the Lord doesn't come back right away because we got this thing going on, you know, in a couple of weeks or a month. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't understand what heaven's like. For one day of happiness, I wouldn't substitute that for heaven. You see? So he tells us in verse 17, so that we live right, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I shared some things of Psalm 23 and from that song. That's wisdom. Never feeling alone. Being in that place of turning to God, understanding who He is and how He loves you and taking care of you. And He says, I don't want you to be unwise, Christians, but I want you to understand what the will of the Lord is. I don't think there's one person in this room who doesn't want to know what the will of God is for their life. I mean, that's always the first question you get from Christians. What's God's will for me? I don't know what God's will for me is. Well, it's never going to be all laid out in the manual and he's going to give it to you and say, oh, good, now I'm all set with life. Did you find that out? That's not the way it is. Why? Because he wants... Jesus, in the model prayer, says, give us this day our daily bread. Daily we go to him and ask. Because you could have everything great, perfect, and harmony, and good church, and loving the Lord. But today, maybe God has a direction for you, or something new to undertake, or a ministry, or whatever it is in your life. We at least have to wake up and ask. What's your will? I want to understand your will today for me, God. See, so many young people in depression today, they don't ask that question. They're just looking to achieve certain things, just like adults. Just want to achieve this. They have these landmarks. And the problem with those things are, if they don't come to pass, you get bummed out. You hear these people, you know, a lot of these millennials, you know, they got this after 5 years, this after 10 years, this after 15 years, and then I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to finally have a baby when I'm 52 years old. You know, it's something like that today. That's the way it is today. It's crazy when you hear people talk. You know, you ask them about their life, and they got all these plans. You say, wow. Good luck. Life doesn't work that way. God doesn't write the manual and say, here, Jim, here's my plan for your life, and follow it. Jesus said, what? Follow me. In the process of that, I'm going to achieve his will. You see? Because he's the one with the plan and the direction. But we as human beings like to know. Boy, if I know I'm setting something for a couple of years, it's like, whew, I'm all right now. But how do I know that God doesn't want a different direction tomorrow? Unless I ask and understand what the will of the Lord is. I've come to find out it's a lot of times the same as yesterday. You know? You just got to do it. This is what the Lord wants today for some reason. But in that new today we get each morning, I find he uses what you're in. If you're faithful in it, he blesses you and he blesses others through you somehow. Brings someone across your path. Gets you to meet a person and talk to them. Did you find that out? Just in the normal process of God's will for your life today, he uses it. And he blesses you and others. But if we've got our eyes on this plan, we're not happy till that comes. And if it doesn't work out, whoa, we're really bummed out. It's already been 10 years, Lord. It hasn't worked out yet. So he says, first of all, he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So in other words, God has a will for our life. You can call it a plan or it's his will. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the will of God. So he's going to tell us some things to understand what the will of God is. Because I want to be in that perfect will and achieve his plan. And not just wait for the Lord to take us home. You know, he has a will for our life today. It isn't to wait today for the rapture. The rapture is just going to happen. That's a done deal. It's already set in stone on a certain day. And he knows that. So that's taken care of. In the meantime, I occupy and stay in the center of God's will. And when I do that, he can use me and achieve certain things in my life. And he has the plan, as I said. So each day, first of all, we should pray for God's will to be done in our lives. Talking to God. You need to talk to God every day. Good to do it when you get up in the morning so that you don't waste the day. We are in such a habit of doing that for years and years and years. We pray and we read in the morning that if there's something that there used to be times when there was something to do and you just leave and you say, oh gosh, we didn't pray. That doesn't happen anymore because I've learned. But no matter where we are, what we're doing, we do it. Because I don't feel right. And you know, it used to be there were times where the day was going really bad and we'd say, you know what? We didn't pray. And you find the day half gone. You want to know right away. As we shared last time, redeeming the time. We have a certain amount of minutes and seconds in this life. And we don't know how many that is and how many are left. But the day is going to come where they're all spent and you can't recharge it or buy more minutes. It's done. You know, it's over. As soon as those minutes are used, our life is over. So wouldn't it be awful to learn that you've wasted 3,245,000,000 minutes in your life? That would be awful. I want to use them. So start in the morning. I wouldn't want to lose 24 hours. What about you? So start in the morning and you pray and ask God to understand what his will for your life is. And so first, when we look back at verse 11, we know this one thing is to understand what the will of the Lord is. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We're now in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. We first of all, don't ever want to go back to an old life or have fellowship with people and be involved with people in the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't want to spend our time in the dark again. We don't want to get involved in sinful things. If there's anything in your life that's sinful, pray for God to give you the strength today to cut it out. It can be drugs, alcohol, pornography, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. We can go on and make a huge list. Cut it out today. Those are works of darkness. There is no way we're going to hear or understand what the will of the Lord is if we're in darkness. You have to turn the light bulb on and be walking in the light. Get with God and say, it's over, and I can only end it, God, with your strength. So please help me to end this. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the darkness. And then we have to get out of the way and direct in our lives and allow God to direct us. God must be directing us. Not the world, not the flesh, not others. Sometimes God will tell you to do something, or this is my will for your life, and no one will agree with it. Boy, isn't it great when you feel the Lord tell you something and you share with the ladies or the men or the church and everybody says, yeah, that sounds great. That's an easy one. But what if they all said, no, that's not a good idea? Well, then you'd have a bummer day if you were going by the crowd. Because in your heart, you know, God said this. So it's between you and God. And don't look for more than 50% to agree. Maybe there's none. Even the one closest to you, but you say, but I know this is the Lord. So what we do is we get out of the way. We don't get directed in our life by anything but God. We have to pray and ask God, you know, it's not about my plans. You know, sometimes my plans are in alignment with God. Because the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. See, that's the good thing about living like we read in Psalm 23 and here in Ephesians. If you're living in the light and doing the right thing and you're delighting in the Lord, not in the circumstances, a lot of times your desires are just what God desires and he brings them to pass. Isn't it wonderful when he does that? It's just great. Sometimes I found maybe you don't even want to share it with anyone, what he's telling you, just so that you won't get negative input. That's wise. You know, because in the flesh, we want to be encouraged by other people and have them agree. But if they are negative about it, it could hurt you. So focus on the Lord. Don't look for popular opinion. And it's not about my agenda. It's not about me at all, knowing what the will of the Lord is. See, God has the plan, the perfect plan, and then I just follow it. The biggest action I can take to understand what the will of the Lord is, first of all, to pray for wisdom. In James, it tells us, pray for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. And sometimes I don't even know he gave it to me because nothing changed. We think when we pray, things are going to change. You can pray for wisdom, and the Lord is just saying, or maybe he's keeping silent, or saying, stay. You know how they train dogs? Stay. roll around, jump. Maybe God's saying, stay. And so you just have to stay. And that's wisdom, because they're obeying their master. But I don't like that. I want to hear something new, exciting. Stay. So we pray for wisdom, we read his word, and then we obey. And we're going to see that in the next verses, which we're going to cover next time. Because we're going to just get through verse 17 today. In a nutshell, and here's the whole thing in a nutshell before we even go further, even next week. The way to understand what the will of the Lord is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. To understand what the will of the Lord is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit or God who dwells in the believer. You see, we need to be in a spiritual place and not an emotional place or a fleshly place. Because if we're in a fleshly place or an emotional place, we're never going to understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to be in that under the influence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us in order to understand his will. And to be wise, you know, we need to know time is short here. And we should use our minutes for God. Verse I'm going to share, Proverbs 8, verse 11. Let's turn to Proverbs 8, verse 11. Proverbs 8, verse 11. Remember this. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So you see, there's wisdom in understanding the word of the Lord, being wise. And then there's all the things of the world and desires. And nothing, wisdom from God is better than rubies. And all the things that you could ever desire cannot compare to wisdom. Just like Solomon prayed for wisdom. And he gave it to him. So we end here today with that. We need to understand we need to have wisdom to understand the will of the Lord. We shared some things how to do that. And next time, we'll get into specifics on some things that will put us in that place. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for just never leaving us alone. Even when we think we are, we're not. I pray today that you would deliver all of us from any feelings or emotions that would hinder our walk with you and the truth. You are a good, good Father. You will lead us on the right path. You will take care of us, and we will end up with you in heaven. Keep us steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And I pray for every heart here, Lord, to leave here full of joy, knowing that you see them. Even in that valley, there is a shadow because you're shining on them. We're not alone. Whatever we're going through today, you're able to deliver us from or take us through it. And your thoughts toward us are good, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.